The following programming is sponsored by Mark J. Bernstein. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group. Entrepreneur, author, and financial consultant Mark Bernstein helps high-performing entrepreneurial business owners create a vision for the future and follow through on their goals and intentions. Ange Honorato is a business growth strategist who blends psychology and business together to create conscious leaders and business owners who impact the world. Founders Forum is a radio show podcast sharing the real stories behind entrepreneurship as founders discover more about themselves while providing valuable lessons and some fun and entertainment for you. Now, here's Mark and Ange.
Good morning, America. How are you? We're live here in the studio today in beautiful Ballachinwood, right outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and it is a beautiful day. And I have two beautiful women here with me in the studio today. I feel very privileged for that. Ange Honorato is recuperating from surgery and is not here. So we have Jess Hallahan and we have Dale Kasheshian in the studio. And I'll formally introduce them in a minute, but good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we always start out with a little topic on the show, and today's topic is sleep. Because Jessica and I happen to be talking about this a couple of days ago. I keep calling her Jess. She looks like a Jess to me. What can I tell you? But anyway, so we were talking about the importance of sleep, and it became very apparent to me this morning as I slept through my alarm, slept through everything, got a really good night's sleep because I hadn't had much in the last couple of days. So sleep is all important, I know. But I would love for you to expand on that, how sleep enters into your lives and its importance. Go ahead, Dale, you want to start?
Well, I think just from a healthcare perspective, you know, it's the body's way of restoring itself, you know. But I think, too, that, I don't know, for me, I do a lot of problem solving when I sleep. You know, when everything is quiet and all the noise is gone, I go to sleep with an issue, and I wake up with a solution.
So I get that. I meditate twice daily, and that's how I do it, which is why that's why my dreams at night are probably more bizarre because I've already worked out the other issues. But anyway, how about you, Jessica?
Definitely what you said, right? There's that sense of recovery that happens for sure. I think it's also for me in the sense of taking time for me. It's a big boundary for me. So I go to, when Mark and I were talking about this, we talked about how I'm in bed by 8 p.m. every night, and that's my big boundary. That's my me time. So either I'm problem solving or I'm reading, or it's just that regroup from a lot of different things for sure.
Pretty cool. So let me tell you about Jessica real quick, and then I'll introduce Dale. So Jessica Hallahan received her master's in public health at Westchester University and is owner of Journey to Yourself, a speaker and a stress management health educator. Through her career in education, she realized that we all have a common issue. Everyone, at some point or another, struggles with handling stress. Write into me if that's not true of you, if you're listening to the show, but I can't imagine. Through her own life journey, Jessica created Journey to Yourself. And she will be, I'm sure, a frequent visitor to the show and will fill in as co-host from time to time. And Dale Kasheshian is founder and CEO of HealthWorks Academies. It's a talent development pipeline linking high school students with health science careers. Big need we have for that today. At HealthWorks Academies, we believe that social determinants of health, or they believe that social determinants of health are inextricably linked to social determinants of education. They are committed to fostering students of all backgrounds to learn and engage in health science careers to develop a national workforce that reflects the populations we serve. So I'm reading it as me because I've sort of adopted this because I love what they do. I think we're just going to get right into it, Dale. Let's just talk about your story because you have an interesting story how you got there. And it all started with your husband's medical practice.
You know, it was a surprise when he was finishing his internship and residency. We moved here from Boston. And when he said he wanted to open a practice, and my background had been in dentistry, and I said, well, no, you don't. And you know, explained to him. He was not a business guy. He was definitely a medical guy.
But entrepreneurial, the fact that he wanted to do it, right?
Well, he wanted to practice medicine and he didn't want other people telling him what to do.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
That's entrepreneurial.
That's how a lot of people become entrepreneurs, but yeah.
But, he didn't understand the concept of, you know, overhead and salaries and, you know, all of those things before you can take a dollar home.
Right.
Right.
Got it.
And he figured, you know, somebody else will take care of that. I'll just practice medicine and we'll do well.
And let's guess, who is that other person? Who is that
well,
someone else?
He acquired a practice that was 35 years old. And wonderful, wonderful practice, wonderful physician. His wife was the practice manager, so I took that job by default. and we thrived in that practice. It was a wonderful experience. And he, you know, my philosophy was if he just focuses on medicine, I'll just do everything else.
Great.
It was a very much a community practice. And he was very dedicated to the wellness of his patients. So he was an internist. A lot of the folks that came with us were about 55% geriatric. And most of the patients had comorbidities. So they didn't have just one disease. They had multiples. And so it's a dance, right, to manage all of those different illnesses, you know, and keep people vibrant and as healthy as they can be. And one of the things that he was really clear about was that in order to do that, he had to have great relationships with all of the people that he referred to, the lab at the hospitals, the outpatient facilities, the doctors that he referred to, and he made it clear if somebody was really sick, they needed an appointment right away, and the doctors were very accommodating. And when they saw them, he would get a phone call. And if he didn't get a phone call and he waited for a letter to come in the mail, he didn't refer to them anymore.
Wow. That's unique amongst medical professionals.
But it really fast-tracked, for people to get the care that he needed. And he had great relationships with the specialists that he referred to. And first he started a chess club where they met at our house on Saturdays.
Yep.
And that morphed into what we called the dinner.
Right. I'm glad you got there. I was going to ask you about the dinner. Let's go.
Well, you know, these were such lovely people. And you know, when you have relationships with people that you really enjoy spending time with, you want to see them outside of the work environment, outside of the hospital or outside of, you know, treating a patient. And I love to cook and I love to bake, and there's nothing more that fills my soul than to have a lot of happy people around my table.
Nice.
And so once a month we would host a dinner for the physicians and their spouses. And it turned into what we called the dinner. It was and it became a monthly thing. It was always on a Friday. There was a wonderful separation between a busy work week and the weekend. And, you know, we would have hors d'oeuvres and then we would sit in the dining room and there's no clock. And we would have this lovely meal and everybody's talking and laughing and kind of unwinding. And, you know, by the time dessert came around, we'd be laughing and, you know, till our sides hurt. And those dinners went to the wee hours of the morning sometimes, you know, and we just kind of lost track of time. And the dinners were just a wonderful way to break bread and connect with people that we would ordinarily work with. And what happened with those dinners, you know, I sat around the table after many, many dinners and thought collectively, how many patients do these doctors serve? How many lives are touched? How many lives are impacted by these extraordinary physicians who are so dedicated and so knowledgeable and so skilled? And where did they come from? So I asked them, what was your almost certain future and what happened? Everybody had a story. Every story had a happenstance. Well, the other thing was that the hospital system had a physician's dinner every year at Christmas time at the Crystal Tea Room. And if you know that space, it's a wide open space and they were all, you know, round tables of 10. And you could look across the entire room. And we used to laugh because every year it got grayer. And we just thought, oh, we're getting old, you know, and it was funny. But then fast forward, we realized that that we have an aging problem, that our workforce is aging, and it's not just physicians, it's across the board. And the question becomes, you know, who's going to replace them? Mm-hmm. And so I had this thought that if, you know, we have this aging workforce, but their stories all started with happenstance. What if we created the happenstance and expanded the awareness for students to go into careers in medicine?
So this was at one particular dinner this happened, right? One of the times at the dinner?
No, the dinner was really the genesis.
Okay, and then it was after the crystal
key
room.
And it was way later, but these were all the seeds that, planted.
That's how it happened.
Way back when.
Okay, so let's talk about your career path from there.
Well, you know, I had been warned by other wives who had preceded me, you know, to work with their physicians and said, don't do it.
Right,
you'll
right,
never get
right,
out. Right. It's like the Hotel California. You'll never
right,
leave.
Right, it's funny.
And I did not take their advice. And it was great for our family because my husband's schedule was, you know, crazy busy. And it allowed me to be around for our children, you know, if they were sick or they had something at school or, you know, all the after school mm-hmm. stuff. We had a full staff. So mm-hmm. it was very flexible for me. But when they went off to college, I didn't need that kind of flexibility, you know, anymore. And I didn't want the medical practice manager role to be what I did for the rest of my life. I right. really wanted to do something else. So I was connected with Gap International. I did some work with them around transformational thinking. And at the end of the program, I walked away with a short-term plan and a long-term plan to position myself to be able to do something else. And, at that point, I was really stuck. I was the practice manager, but I was also, we built a multi-suite medical building. I was the facilities manager, the lease manager, you know, doing all of those things. And so I walked away with a short-term plan and a long-term plan. I implemented that. And then I went to work for Gap International. Because I really thought it would be important to bring transformational thinking to healthcare. They were industry agnostic. They do remarkable work. And that was my plan.
Before we go to break, then something happened where you got together with Warren Buffett's sister, right?
That's right.
Doris?
Yes, Doris
yes.
Buffett.
Tell us about that.
Well, I had this idea that, you know, somebody had to do something. There was a gap between industry and education. And we saw, you know, even with my own children and their friends and this gap of, you know, you graduate from high school and you're going to go to college or maybe not to college, but how do you know what you want to do? And we don't do enough of connecting industry with youth for students to have a broad context, particularly in this $4 trillion industry. And, you know, where the demands are growing so rapidly. And so so I thought, well, I'll start a nonprofit and I'll find somebody else that's doing this and I'll join them. That was
right.
the plan.
Right, right.
And so I left my job at Gap, literally walking out on my last day with my box and my friends waving to me,
right.
you know, from the glass in front of this beautiful building. And I got a call. And from the Delaware County Community Foundation and to do some volunteer work. So I couldn't say no, you know, and I volunteered for a little bit. And it turned out that they had a chance meeting with Doris Buffett's administrator. And she had started the Sunshine Lady Foundation with funds from Warren Buffett when he was divesting his fortune. And needed to create a local presence without opening offices. And so we were charged to do that, and they didn't have anybody to do it, so they gave it to me. And, you know, with a small stipend, and I did that for a year and a half. And it was my first foray into the nonprofit world, and it was an amazing experience to connect with community and be able to to provide a really meaningful assistance to families in need.
So that's a great story and appropriate time for a quick break, in which we'll hear a little bit more about HealthWorks Academies, and we'll be right back on Founders Forum.
HealthWorks Academies is a nonprofit talent development pipeline program linking STEM education with career awareness and engagement for high school students and youth organizations. Our mission is to create a national talent pipeline that represents the population we serve. We conduct live panel presentations with our corporate partners where professionals share their academic and career journey, industry trends, and career opportunities that students typically would not know. Our industries represent clinical medicine, biopharma, medical devices, healthcare technology, healthcare business and finance, and behavioral health. It said you can't plant a seed and eat fruit on the same day. We must foster career opportunities for students to lead our health science industries into the future. Reach us at healthworksacademies.org.
We are back on Founders Forum with our guest today, Dale Kashashian, and our guest co-host, Jessica Hallahan. And we were just talking about, I think we were just at the precipice of the beginning of HealthWorks Academies. So let's talk about how that happened.
Sure. Well, it was something that I had the idea to do when I was at Gap International, but I had no nonprofit experience. So it just happenstance, you know, that I had the opportunity to work for Doris Buffett, and it was an amazing opportunity, and I'm very proud of the work that we did. And then started HealthWorks. We were very fortunate to have met Mike West from Rothman Institute, who was a big believer in what we were doing and supported us there for our first corporate founding sponsor. And our model was to bring folks into schools and talk about their careers and their academic journey and their career journey.
And particularly in healthcare.
In healthcare, the health sciences and across industries. And then to bring students into industry so that they could job shadow and see what a day in the life looks like in different departments and meet different people and get this experience. And then something happened. Mm. COVID happened.
Right.
And, we were an in-school program and bringing students into industry. Things came to a screeching halt with COVID, and we just thought we were done. And I was part of a women's executive breakfast group that met once a month, about 60 members, and we weren't going to meet in person anymore. We were going to meet virtually. And it was decided that instead of having speakers come in, with 60 people, as members, we could support each other going through, everybody was going through a tough time. And there was just so much uncertainty. And, it was just such a difficult time for all of us. And so they decided that we would have a member spotlight. And we would talk about our business, our issues, and where we needed help. And we had the collective wisdom of, 60 members to assist, and Dale's going to go first.
right.
And so I felt a little bit like a fraud, because we really didn't have a viable business anymore. Mm. But I did talk about the mission and the vision and the need. 10,000 people a day turning 65, a $4 trillion industry. We were, with COVID, we were seeing the gaps and the disparities in healthcare. That were glaring, and the need for a population of professionals that represent the populations we serve to help close that gap, and what came from that were some wonderful volunteers stepped forward, and we created an advisory board, and the advisory board shifted our model, and while schools were getting facile with Zoom and remote learning, and industry always had been. We created a model that that provides panels, moderated panels. Everything's virtual, and it's really easy for schools. It's really easy for industries. It expands our reach for schools and youth organizations to anywhere that has a Zoom link, And our industry panelists come from anywhere in the country and actually anywhere in the world.
Oh, awesome. I love hearing your story. So my follow-up question would be about communication. So in a lot of your story, you've talked about communication and relationships. How has communication and relationships helped with handling stress by growing your business?
Oh, it's critically important. If there's anything that I learned from COVID, it's the power of community. And just communicating the need, you know, where we were, the challenges that we had, and then having really dedicated people and you know, brilliant minds that were seeing things from a different perspective, and that collective wisdom that put us on a different track. And you know, COVID was a silver lining for us. You know, really put us on a, you know, on a path to much greater success than we ever would have been, prior to that.
So you're on a great pathway today, mm-hmm. Dale. It sounds great. It's really, your story, you're like the Forrest Gump of the story in a way, because things keep happening. But I believe good things happen to good people, and you had a lot of good things happen to you along the way. What, looking out to the future, it's one of the things we like to talk about on the show. If this were in November, almost November, but we'll say October of 2024, this were October of 2027, and we're looking back on the last 3 years, what would have to happen to HealthWorks Academies, which is your nonprofit vision, or your personal life, if you'd like, what would happen? What would that look like for you the next 3 years?
It's exciting because by making our programs virtual, we can reach more schools, more youth organizations, and we're always looking for opportunities to impact students in school. But additionally, we're a nonprofit, and we want to reach as many students as we can. And we have a very exciting opportunity. I can't name the station just yet, but it's an opportunity to have a dedicated series that will reach nearly 2 million students. Mm. And so
we talked about that offline. It sounds very exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
And so students from any geographic, social, ethnic, racial background can take a look and learn about these industries, learn about these careers. The presenters, you know, represent diversity, so they see people that look like themselves, you know, and the academic and career journey, and how they forged it, and not only how they navigated, but a lot of the skills that are developed during that pathway: communication, ownership of the whole, commitment to excellence, teamwork, allyship, sponsorship, mentorship, building and maintaining relationships. And they talk about how those competencies advance their academic and career journey. And so it's not, you know, it's not just a linear path. It's, you know, often convoluted, and, you know, you can take a different path to, you know, to move forward, and that's fine. But the opportunities to take their wisdom and to learn from what they've learned for high school students is invaluable.
And just specifically, one quick thing, what does that look like? So if this station thing happens, mm-hmm. and it's an online network, I believe it'll of education, where do you see that in 3 years? How expansive do you think that will be 3 years from now?
We're contracting now for 40 videos a year. Mm. That is minuscule.
Okay.
We can do 10 times that very easily.
Wow.
The biggest barrier is funding.
Gotcha.
There's no limit to how many industries, how many careers we can post and organize by industries for students to learn everything from Skills First, where they can graduate from high school, they take their diploma, and the organization trains them for certification,
yeah.
To postgraduate level education, everything in between.
If this contract happens, though, that will be your funding, right? And then it can go crazy. After
no, that. We actually have to find the funding for it. So,
gotcha. Okay.
So, you know, that's our next step.
Ah, anyone listening out there can help.
But it's an amazing, amazing opportunity to connect with almost 2 million
I know.
Students.
We have about 3 minutes left, and I know Jess has a couple questions for you.
Yeah, of course. So this is a great follow-up because we're talking about the future. So my follow-up question would be, what are your thoughts about your legacy? So what legacy are you creating?
Oh, boy. You know, when I sat around the table all those weeks for the dinner and was so inspired by what physicians were doing, cutting-edge medicine, how they were transforming lives for people to just live their best life, I want to do more of that. I want to be responsible for more of that. It's a little bit like, what was the name of the company? We don't make the product, we make it better. You know, we don't do the work. We create the pipeline.
Yeah. And my last one, I think it's the best follow-up too, because you're talking about the legacy to create your future, all the things in between, but you also talked about the ups and downs and the learnings and the things that you had to do. So if you could speak to your younger self, what advice would you give?
Oh, boy. You know, I was a shy kid and a people pleaser. And that really defined a lot of my life. I would go back and say, do what's right for you. You know, I worked with my husband for 18 years because it was what our family needed, because it wasn't what my husband needed. But it didn't have to be that way. And I really could have found another pathway. But, you know, on the other hand, it wouldn't have been this pathway. You know, I would have had a different career and a different legacy.
Wow.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think I would look at my own autonomy very differently as a young person.
Amazing.
I find you to be an interesting person because you're pretty quiet. You're quiet, low-key powerhouse.
Yes.
There's a lot going on there. And it's pretty exciting. Are you a reader? Do you like to read?
I do. You know what I like to do more? Uh-huh. I like to fix things.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we were talking offline about how we handle stress, and everyone has their own ways. Talk about that, because we have about a minute left.
I think when, you know, we live in a very stressful time right now on so many levels. I've painted things in my house. I've fixed hardware. I organize my basement. I've got a wonky shoulder to, you know, to attest for all the heavy bins. But when I, you know, when I'm stressed, I take it out physically. I don't go to the gym, but I fix things.
So I want to thank Dale Kisheshi and The Fixer for being here today. I want to thank Jessica Hallahan for being here today. It was a delight to have you both here in the studio. And we thank all of you for listening to Founders Forum and look forward to seeing you again next week.